my son announced to me the other day that he actually didn't remember Japan at all, and I was a bad mother that I took him when he was only two. So, yeah.
Like, here's the pictures, kid. Yeah, you were there.
Exactly right. Yeah.
I'll stand by passengers. See me at the podium. Your seat is empty.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Laura.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Monique.
And it's the last show before Memorial Day. And we have our friend Katie from Australia. It's going to be joining us later on.
Perfect for Memorial Day.
And guess who's been super stressed this week?
Laura.
Laura's been stressed.
I've been really stressed this week.
Are you doing better now, though?
Oh, I'm much better now. I'm much better now because WestJet pilots are no longer going on strike.
And why does that matter?
Because I'm flying WestJet Tuesday.
Guaranteed seat?
We ended up buying tickets because we're doing that 2-week tour in Ireland. And one of the girls we're flying with can't ride in the jump seat for that long. So we ended up purchasing tickets on WestJet from Phoenix to Calgary and from Calgary to Dublin. So we purchased them and we were a little bummed. But anyway, we bought them. And I was on Instagram and our friend Ben from Stand By List. That we had on the show. Yeah, he texts me, goes, you know they're going on strike, right, next week. I go, what? What? He goes, yeah, they're ready to go on strike. I go, what? And so I've been watching it. And sure enough, they canceled the flight I'm taking on Tuesday. And by the way, they only fly every other day. And so they canceled Friday's flight preemptively.
It's a little bit different than in the States, because in the States they can threat strikes, but then they have to do on a cooling off period and the big steps. But in Canada, apparently, you say we're striking and then they go strike. So
yeah,
it was like the last minute that they fixed it. So I remember I was getting kind of nervous for you. When I talked to you on the phone, you could feel that stress. That you were kind of like, what's happening?
Yeah. I wasn't stressed at all.
She doesn't care if you make it or not.
No,
she's kind of like,
I knew it would work out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You have faith in the
the
WestJet pilots?
No. They would do the right thing.
Well, I think at that point I'd be just like, okay, we'll meet you over there to our friend.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm excited to hear about your trip.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Because I'm super jealous that you're traveling.
I know
I feel like I haven't been on a trip. What was I say the other day? I said it's like hangry, but travel. Travel angry, because I haven't been on a good trip in a while.
You're trangry.
Trangry, yeah.
Do you have anything in your travel planner?
Yeah, so I got a lot of plans.
You always do.
A lot of hopes, but it's just like, yeah, we'll see. That's what, with Memorial Day coming up, I got a couple of days, but I feel like it's going to be ugly, so I'm not going to say where we're going, or I'm just going to, but I'm jealous. You're going to have a good time.
Thank you.
We'll talk about it in like a month.
Yeah.
Have you practiced your accent?
No. No, but I am 57% Irish. So I'm looking forward to going back to the motherland.
Are you
going to
use which passport are you using?
I'm going to use my U.S. passport, because I learned that from Lizzie.
So did you see the new things that Staff Traveler added?
I did see some of that.
One of the features that they have is you can set it so that it will automatically request the update. So you're flying Southwest to LA or something. You can set it so that in different increments, like you can do it. So it'll charge you a credit every time, but every 3 hours or 6 hours or every day, you can wake up and have it already
updated
load.
It's nice because when I opened up Staff Traveler, it actually gave me a little notification and told me that was new.
Yeah. So that's,
I thought that was cool.
Well, it's nice that you can set that increment as well. Cause if you're watching a flight a week out, you know, only a daily one would be nice. But then as you get closer, you may want it hourly or something like that.
Yeah. Yesterday when I was getting ready for Ireland, I came down like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Added a whole bunch of credits, so I'd be ready to go.
And also, Mimi Cox from American Airlines won 50 credits.
Yay, Mimi!
I wonder if she was one of the new flight attendants that you harassed when we were on campus.
Oh, I hope so.
Mimi does not sound like a new flight attendant.
Oh, you don't know?
Sorry. Sounds like a 6-year-old gate agent.
What if she listens to the show?
Thanks for listening, Mimi. let us know cool who
that,
you are.
Yeah, that she won those 50 credits. And those 50 credits are going to go fast if she's planning on traveling in summer.
Yeah, that's cool.
So very cool. Thank you for signing up. Or
thank you, Mimi.
Stafftraveler.com/nonrevlounge.
Correct.
If you sign up there, then you get added for those possible 50 credits, the raffle they do every month. So.
Yeah, just the other day, I caught my friend Brenda at work, who's been on the show, and I'm pretty sure we signed her up for Staff Traveler while she was here. She was like, have you seen this app? It helps you get loads and stuff. I was like, oh, girl. I was like, yeah, you were with us when we signed you up.
We're the ones that signed you up. Yeah. Remember we took a picture of ID and everything?
So the other night, we get a text from Lara, and she goes, I have a celebrity on my flight. Rob Schneider's on my plane. And I talked to him and he was super nice. And he said, come back up and we're going to record something. She goes, so I need questions. What can we ask?
We were pretty excited. We were
We were like, talk about this, talk about that.
And you said talk about his daughter. What a great idea.
Yeah, I think his daughter's pretty awesome. She's like kind of blowing up in the country rock scene right now too. So
Elle King.
Yeah. So I was like, throw that at him. That may like soften him up a little more too. But
and the, what happened? The bodyguards kept you away? What happened?
Someone had a stroke. Of course. Some passenger had a stroke. that kept me away. No, but when we were during boarding, we had to stop boarding at a certain point because one of the flight attendants was carrying her tray with the champagne, orange juice, and club soda and sparkling water. And which she accidentally spilled it all over a business class passenger. The whole tray. And so we had to halt boarding for a minute. So I said, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to wait here for just a minute and stand here and talk to me. He goes, well, worse things have happened. And I look at each other and it's Rob Schneider. Oh, really? And he's wearing a red plaid jacket and a little white hat. And I said, you just flew not that long ago out of my friend Monique's gate. I go, she's a gate agent for us here in Phoenix. And I said, you had to be the last passenger on. He goes, oh, yeah, that's what I like to do. He goes, I like to be the last passenger. He goes, but today, you know, I'm sitting up here, so they made me board early. So we sat there and chatted. And I said, oh, I don't remember what we talked about. We were saying something. And I said, oh, well, Monique and I do a podcast together on aviation and non-revenue travel, which is how we travel. And I just happened to have a business card in my pocket. So I handed it to him. He goes, oh, this is really cool. I'm going to look you guys up. And he goes, hey, during the flight, why don't you come up and we'll record a couple of things for your podcast. I go, that would be great. Thank you. Very, very generous. So then he gets settled in his seat and big problem with luggage. And so we're trying to find the door's ready to close, but we have luggage everywhere. So I'm moving people's bags in business class because there's always extra room in business class for coach bags. So I'm moving stuff around. Okay, so then right after takeoff, I see some commotion going on over there. And I walk up. I go, what's going on? And they go, well, Rob can't find his bag. I go, what? And they go, Rob can't find his bag. And so I start looking around and I'm like, oh. And Rob goes, well, I put it right up here. It's a little white bag with black lettering. And I looked at him. I go, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Because I moved his bag. And he started laughing. He goes, I love that song. Then in the middle of the flight, I was after my break, I was coming up to podcast with him because they said he was holding court up front in business class. He's talking to all the flight attendants and chatting with them. And I said, oh, now's my time. So I go running up there. And right as I go running up there, this emergency happens. This lady goes, this guy's laying down on the floor. And I'm like standing there. Guy on the floor, Rob Schneider. Guy on the floor, Rob Schneider.
Is he
shaking?
Is he not moving? Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so the three of us ran over there and he seemed to be okay. And then we picked him up and put him in his seat and all of a sudden it looked like he had a stroke. And so we had an emergency room nurse with us. And so then she, thank goodness, she walked by and said, can I help you? And then we put him back down on the floor by door 3R. And then she worked on him. And then there was a doctor on board. And he came and helped her. And they got him stabilized. And he was going to get checked out when we got to London. Everything was good on him. His blood sugar was good. His heart rate was good. Everything was good. It was just all of a sudden he was talking. And he went, boop, and he went out. And she goes, I think that's a stroke. And I'm like, So then we got him settled. And I ran back up front. And Rob goes, oh, can we do it later? I was just going to go down and take a little nap. And I'm like, oh, no problem. And he never woke up. Except for landing.
Oh,
that was the interruption.
He's super nice. Yeah, and he came over to me. He goes, hey, I'm gonna text you later. I'm gonna contact you. He goes, I'll just be a guest on your podcast. He goes, if that's okay. I go, oh, that'd be awesome. But
deal.
Let's not hold our breath.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm until he comes on.
I know.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. You gotta do that. We were pretty excited. So back to the stroke. You said that you had a nurse and a doctor. Do you verify that they're actual?
No, we do not. We just take them at their word.
Because I was listening to another podcast and there was like a doctor and he had said, or something, they said, make sure you carry something to prove.
I heard that too on that podcast, but we did not ask. I've never asked.
Well, do you remember, I think I told you on one of Zaki's flights, they asked for a doctor on board and a guy was like, I'm a dentist. And they were like, we'll see. We may not need like, but the dentist wanted to offer his help.
Oh, that's funny. But okay. No, we don't ask.
Okay.
And now, no, we don't ask at all. We'll ask after the event to see ID.
I didn't know if it was liability stuff.
Yeah, we'll ask after the event for the ID when we do the paperwork.
Smart.
Well, thanks for getting our hopes up.
He does fly in and out of Phoenix a lot, though.
Yeah. Does he live here? Is that why?
If he doesn't, he has a home yeah. here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to say, Gus Bus.
I don't remember that one. You just got to say, it's me, Jessica. That's my favorite line.
All right, let's get to our show with Katie. Katie came and joined us. So she was on our show early on. She's from Australia and came. She was in town in Dallas with us and she recorded with us. So that was a lot of fun. And so we wanted to have her on again. So when she was in town, we got a few more stories out of her and we got to meet her for the first time. So,
well, that was the first time you met her?
Yeah, because the last time was over Zoom. That's how far back it was when we were still doing Zoom. So
she's so super cute.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And
she's got a great personality.
So let's get into it.
Well, really excited today because we have Katie from Australia who was on season one with us.
G'day, g'day.
And we have her in person.
We do. And I think she's our furthest traveling person to Dallas.
She deserves a prize for that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
For the Non-Rev Lounge does Dallas.
Just a short distance.
Perfect. But I was telling Tyler earlier that I was really excited to record with you again because you were one of my favorite guests we had right off the bat. So
thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
What was it, something that was on your favorite?
I think her story talking about going from Japan and the snow and skiing and then being in Guam.
And stuck on Guam.
And had to buy all summer clothes for you and your children.
Yeah, that's right.
That's such a great, I remember
ABC
that.
ABC stores.
Yeah, and I wasn't on the podcast then, but I remember you as a guest because I thought that was just really cool.
Yeah, and they did have a Kmart, I think, on the island from memory. So they didn't have a lot of stores, but yeah, definitely ABC stores and a Kmart. So, between those stores, we were right and we could, enjoy the, I think it ended up being 6 nights on Guam.
Did you have to keep calling or getting you hold your manager about, I'm not coming home again. I can't get on because you just kept getting stuck right for days after days.
Yeah. So. Well, United was only flying, I think, twice a week between Cairns and Guam back then. That's why I think the tropical storm hit and it was the, second flight of that week that was canceled. So then we had to wait, a whole, a whole nother, almost a week. But yeah, no, it was good. And yeah, that was a good non-rev story because even though it didn't work out, we made lifelong friends with that family, the United captain and his wife and kids, who I'm still in touch with to this day. And they've come to visit us in Australia since as well.
Oh, cool.
So yeah.
You had such a good attitude about it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's, can I say, shit happens,
Yeah.
shit happens, right? Yeah. I mean, now I've got an injured knee, but I'm
She's
here.
In an immobilizer, so she came all the way from Australia on crutches.
Oh, no, I did it in Salt Lake City.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I was with a group of travel agents in Park City in Utah and, showing them the destination. And I hadn't skied for 20 years. I swapped to snowboarding. However, Deer Valley is ski only, so I did some ski lessons again. I did okay. And then the next day I was in Park City and they had a snowboard ready for me. But then I said, I'll ski again with the group. And, I got 4 runs in and then hit some soft snow and that was the end of my knee, but I had fun at the time.
That's wild. When you planned that, were you expecting to be able to ski? Because normally ski season's winding down in Park City in Utah around.
Yeah, we thought we might get a little bit of snow on the shoulder, but we weren't expecting that it would be the most amazing snow season in more than 40 years. They've had over 610 inches of snow. That's more than 15 meters in my metric system. So, yeah, we were delighted to, arrive and see this winter wonderland. I think, everyone who lives there is, you know, really looking forward to springtime. But for us, there were a couple of us Aussies, so there were some travel agents from the UK, from Ireland, from Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina. So we were all, you know, delighted.
Greatest snow on earth.
Yeah, it is really the greatest snow on earth. It was amazing. Yeah.
But I think the people that live up there are saying no more snow.
Oh, yeah. Like our parents are, they're over it. Like you said, they're, and our sister that lives really close to a ski resort by Snow Basin. Yeah, she's, they're over it as well.
Yeah. But
that's what I was saying.
Dumped a dump. Yeah.
But if you're a skier, yeah, this is the best season ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right. So yeah, I'm missing aviation, but my new job still gets me to, you know, gets me traveling. So
what is your new job? What are you doing now?
So I'm working for a PR and marketing agency that specializes in destination marketing, specifically international destination marketing. So in Australia, if you've got organizations like Travel Texas or, you know, Visit Park City or Santa Monica Travel and Tourism, they all would love Australians and New Zealanders to come to their destinations and spend their holiday dollars and vacation dollars there, because Aussies, we are known to be quite intrepid travelers. We don't mind going, you know, quite far distances. We have no choice really. But then we also stay longer and we spend more.
That makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of those kind of destination marketing offices that are normally state funded in the US, they don't have their own offices in Sydney. So then they would, you know, contract a marketing company like our company to represent them in the market. So we do things like the PR and the marketing. We also do travel trade marketing and travel trade training and development. So the travel agents, you know what's happening in the destination, kept up to date with, you know, hotels, attractions, activities, all of the things that tourists want to know and you know, need to know, and will help them make a choice about where they go and spend their tourism dollars. So, yeah, so we represent Travel Texas in Australia, and also Santa Monica Travel and Tourism, and Park City in Utah. So, and we've got other destinations around the world as well.
So for this trip, you came to Park City and you said you brought some people with you from Australia.
So there was a couple of others from Australia, and then other travel agents from other countries also arrived into Park City. It was a mega fam, they call it. Yeah, like a familiarization. That's what we call them in the industry. And I used to do them when I was at American Airlines as well. So, you know, I used to work with clients to bring over top-selling North America travel agents to not only showcase them American Airlines products and, you know, services, but then also the destinations to which we flew from Australia, so that they would, you know, it would help the travel agents with their knowledge of the destination, and also to be able to, you know, to sell those destinations. So yeah, it's a great part of any sales role, you know, within travel. Yeah.
So did you like, say for this instance, did you know a lot about Park City, or were you just on, take him there and have someone that kind of was already there to show?
Yeah, definitely. So you've always got the experts in market to help you, you know, showcase the city and showcase the destination. And it was the first time I'd been as well. So although I've been representing Park City for quite a few months now in Australia, I personally had never been. So it was just as educational for me.
So they're like, this is great. And you're like, yeah, it is. I didn't know.
Well, I've been saying it's great. Now I know it's great from experience. Yeah. So oh, nice. Yeah, it was exciting. And then we do project work for other destinations.
When we were in Dorkfest last year, you were on the inaugural flight from New Zealand?
Yes, from Auckland.
How long was that flight?
To JFK. It's about 18 hours nonstop.
Wow, jeez.
Wow.
But you were in premium, right?
I was lucky, yeah. I was in premium economy on the way there. And then in New Zealand, have this fabulous product called Sky Couch. So they have a row of three economy seats, and they have leg rests, which actually can be clicked into place so that they are flush with the seat and it makes it into a bed.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's in premium?
No, that's in regular economy.
No.
You can pay a bit extra to have this experience with the three
seats. So it's like main cabin extra, you know, a little bit.
Well, main cabin extra has the extra leg room. Uh-huh. But imagine then if all three seats in the row had these leg rests that also click up and make it an extended, like a bed. And then they come and they put like a mattress topper on top, and they give you two fluffy pillows and a blanket, and you have a special seat belt as well, so you can actually lay down like a like it's a bed, and, you know, tuck yourself in and wish yourself good night.
Wow. So it's like a sleepover?
Yeah.
Because you're like, it's, so three people will all be laying down.
Oh, no. So you book it.
You're not spooning.
No, you can either book it as a single. So I had three seats to myself.
Oh.
And it's a bed. So it's just me laying across
three seats. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Or you can book it as a couple. And so if you, before they turn it into the bed position, you've got two seats and a spare. And then, yeah, you can spoon when it's transformed into a bed.
It's not forced spooning.
No. Okay. No.
It's either
a single or a double.
Okay.
But yeah, they're very creative in New Zealand. They come out with some great products. I think they're launching Skynest next, which is like economy passengers will have access to bunk beds like the crew have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're calling it Skynest, and they'll be able to book these sleepers for, I think, 3-hour lots or slots. Yeah, so
interesting.
So look, those two products you had on Air New Zealand, which one was better and which one cost more? Do you remember? First of all, what your opinion?
Premium economy costs more, and look, it's a different level of service. You get different food and beverage, and you know what have you. I personally loved laying down and sleeping coming back.
That seems like that would be so much better.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, so it just depends. If you know you're not going to sleep a lot and you want more, you know, the service and that whole experience, then you might prefer premium economy. It's still, you know, a better recline. But if you just want to sleep, so you either, you know, arrive there or arrive home feeling really refreshed, then you might want to go for the Sky Couch option.
What would you want, Monique?
I would want to lay down.
Yeah, that sounds like
I'm going to be the big spoon. Monique knows I have to be big spoon.
You'd have to be the police on that one, make sure that nothing is, no hanky panky though.
No hanky, yeah, I would make sure.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the thing, right? Yeah, you'd have to make sure that no honeymooners were in that.
For some reason, they find me.
Oh, do they? Yes, I've heard the story.
It seems like that would be a more expensive product because you have taken three seats, and it seems like, yeah, that would be awesome to have that, I think. Especially on a long flight like that.
Yeah. So 18 hours, though, how was that? Did your body feel it, though? Like, that's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, where we are, we're used to it. Like, when I was flying from Dallas nonstop to Sydney a lot on that Qantas A380, that was kind of 16 and a half to 17 hours nonstop. Yeah, I mean, I usually wear flight socks, compression socks.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, when you're flying long haul like that, you don't know if you're going to be in business or premium economy. I always would go prepared. So I'd always have my flight socks and my neck cushion. And yeah, it depends on you and your body. But I usually took a sleeping pill on the way back. So, you know, get on board, have some dinner, and then, you know, just make sure you stay hydrated, obviously, and have a snooze.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So tell us about New York a little bit, because you did more than, like, I think when I usually go, when he goes, if we go to the Indian city, it's, we stay there. So, but your trip seemed pretty cool. So what did you get to do there?
Yeah, it was great, actually. Like, I've been to New York several times as well, and I love the city. There's so much to see and do, but I had never really left downtown or you know, Manhattan. So this trip, we took the Amtrak train into the Hudson Valley to a station called Poughkeepsie, and we went into Orange County as well. And it was only, you know, 90 minutes on the Amtrak from downtown Manhattan. And you kind of meander up the Hudson River, so it's very scenic on the way as well. If you're going to the Hudson Valley from downtown Manhattan, sit on the left-hand side, you look out of the window up the river, and then you arrive into this, you know, these beautiful historic towns. They're green, they're leafy, there's a lot of history. And I actually hired a car and drove myself around for 3 days, which was really good. There's so much to see and do. One thing that was there, I went to the Culinary Institute of America is in the Hudson Valley. Oh. Like, a lot of famous chefs have been trained there, like Anthony Bourdain, for example. And you can actually go and you can have a nice dinner, and your chefs and your wait staff are all the current students.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that
that would be fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was lots to see and do. I actually did a biplane flight as well.
What is that? What's a biplane?
Yeah, so it's an old aircraft, and it's open. Yeah, so you don't have a roof, you know. So yeah, we did a biplane flight over over the Hudson Valley.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was beautiful. It was just starting to become fall. So, yeah, there were a lot of fall colors to see. And, you know, it was very windy, but it was great.
Listen,
yeah.
How big was your hair when you got off?
Oh, yeah, it was like triple the size. No, you have to put your hair back. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see it yet.
She's a fellow curly like us.
Yes. Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're doing it around fall time, I've heard, yeah, the foliage is really pretty on the East Coast area.
New York State. Yeah. It was really gorgeous. So, yeah, so that's what, I mean, you can also, you know, take the train from downtown Manhattan and go down to Long Island, and that's not very far either. So I was surprised, and I couldn't believe, actually, after having done that, that I hadn't done it before. I'd only ever just stayed in the city. Yeah. There's the other cool thing, if you're for all the aviation geeks out there in New York City, there's the old aircraft on the naval ship.
I remember Nicole's telling us about that when we did, but I haven't done it yet. So what is it that you're...
Is that a tour? Or?
So it's all these old aircraft that are stored and displayed on a freighter.
Okay.
On a freighter.
Hmm.
In the city.
Oh, cool. Oh, it's in the city.
Yeah, it's in the city. Yeah. Well, that's a cool thing to do. Yeah.
And you got to see a play. We talked about the show with Tina, because you had just been to see Hugh Jackman.
Music Man.
Yeah.
You were pretty excited about that.
The same one. That's Tina. What Tina saw, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's gorgeous. Yeah. I saw him. So he came out. Yeah. I think I got about, 5 feet away from him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was he signing playbills?
Yeah, he was.
She said he was very approachable, very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the time before that, I saw Come From Away.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I would love to see that one.
Yeah, and American Airlines was sponsoring it, actually, in New York City.
Oh, that's great.
At the theater. Yeah, I took clients to that. So, yeah, no, I love New York City. Yeah. I mean, I love the States, you know. I loved Santa Monica just being there as well. Lots of similarities to Sydney, you know, with the beach and what have you. So, and yeah, it's really good to be back in Texas. So I used to come here quite often.
See, I think that's interesting because, like, for me, when we talk about Australia, it's like, for me, we went with my family, and it's like, you know, so long and so exotic. You know, you think, okay, well, she comes to the States all the time.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that, that's interesting. For me, it was probably a once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Unless I start flying as a flight attendant there.
Yeah.
But I mean, for personally, it was probably, that's it. But
yeah.
For her, she comes back and forth.
Yeah. Well, because of my work, you know, it's always been more work related. But I have a best friend that lives in California as well, in Los Angeles. We've been friends since we were 4 years old. Oh. So she's there. And then we have other ties. Like my mother was an exchange student when she was 18, and she lived in LA for a year. And, you know, the family that she stayed with, she has always referred to them as her American family. So
that's nice.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the US and Australia, we have very close ties in every sense of the word. So it always feels like a really good, safe destination for us both. And there's so much to see in the United States. I still haven't seen, you know, all of the national parks. I think I mentioned on the last conversation that we had that I really wanted to go to Yellowstone. I still haven't been. So, yeah, there's so many beautiful national parks to see, and other cities too.
It's funny, we have someone on from Australia telling us about New York, what we should see in New York.
No, so I've been to Uluru, and I love that.
Oh, you loved
Uluru. I love the outback.
Yeah, okay.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. We have, the outback is pretty special. And the stars, you know, the stars that you can see, and just the history, you know, our Aboriginal history is, you know, I think they've proven that the Australian Aboriginals are some of the oldest peoples in the world, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very cool. I took the kids and my mum there, actually, to Uluru. Yeah. And I had to buy my kids the fly nets.
Oh, you have to have a fly net.
They go over your
there.
Face.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Flies.
It's not very civilized. It's not like there's like a ton of things around, but their flies are really bad.
Oh, yeah. Like the children were just going crazy, like, you know, swiping their faces. So then, yeah, we found these fly nets. So, yeah,
they sell them
cool.
Everywhere in that city.
Yeah.
Alice Springs.
Yeah. We have a lot of bugs in Australia. That's one thing. You don't have as many bugs and creepy crawlies here.
The bugs you have are big.
Yeah.
They are large. but I think that's part of the beauty too, you know. It's a different place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, our apex predator is a dingo, which is kind of like your wolf, right? So Yeah, but we don't have bears and cougars and coyotes and whatever else you have. Like some of my American friends, they always ask me, why would I go camping in Australia with snakes and spiders?
Gross.
Like at least there you can step on them or you can, you know, I don't know, outrun them.
But shoo them away.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about how, I don't know about camping in America with all these big animals that can eat you. You can't
step on a grizzly.
Yeah, no, you can't step on a grizzly.
And are we really going to not say it? Or is anyone not going to say it? Okay, I'm going to say it. The dingo ate my baby.
The jury's still out on that. I don't know if that happened or not. So I've got something interesting for you to know. I actually have a dingo.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I have a dingo.
They're like legal to own?
Well, you know.
That's a good question.
Yeah, so in my state, you can have a dingo in a domestic setting, not all states. But yeah, I didn't know you could have a dingo either. But we rescued her during COVID in 2020. Our dog of 15 years died and yeah, we registered with petrescue.com.au. This you know, it's like a pet rescue, you know, platform in Australia. Anyway, her little face came up. It said, Pippa the dingo needs a home. Her mother was killed by a farmer.
Aww.
So yeah, we reached out and I said, I didn't even know you could have a dingo. They were like, yeah, well, they're not normal pets, but in this case and in special cases, you can adopt them. So, yeah, we have a dingo. So if you ever come to Australia, you don't need to go to the zoo to see a dingo. Just come over to my house for a cup of tea or a Chardonnay.
Sounds good.
Yes.
So last time you were on with us, we were in the middle of COVID. I mean, things were locked down. I know you had been complaining because you couldn't go anywhere and you're so used to traveling. So could you say what in Australia has changed since before COVID to traveling now and then? Is there a lot of things or is it?
Well, our borders are open again, so that's a good thing. So our borders opened at the end of February last year, 2022. I mean, people were still fairly cautious to begin with and we still don't have the airline capacity that we had pre-COVID. And obviously a lot of airlines are, you know, reducing capacity and opting for more fuel efficient aircraft like the Dreamliner. So, for example, Qantas isn't flying the A380 to Dallas anymore. They're flying the 787. Nine because it's more fuel efficient. So, but that also means less capacity. So that also means that the airfares are more expensive.
A lot more expensive. Virgin Australia doesn't do a long haul anymore, right?
No. So Virgin Australia, we nearly lost them during COVID. So thankfully they're still around. We need the competition, right? We don't want a monopoly in any market.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 777s they used to fly between Sydney and LA are no longer. So they've just announced they're flying from Cairns to Japan. So hopefully, you know, maybe never say never, they'll be back flying long haul again in the future. But yeah, so I guess the airline industry is still nowhere near what it was pre-COVID. And sadly, yeah, the cost of flights has increased also because of the cost of fuel as well. You know, we're so far away. So non-revving would be a lot harder. My friends still in the industry talk about non-revving being even more difficult than normal because, you know, there's less capacity, there's less seats. And yeah, so I'm missing aviation a lot, really missing it still. But it's not the best time to be in aviation in Australia still. I think we've got another year of probably, you know, hard work and blood, sweat and tears until we're back.
You flew up here coming on this trip and you were, because our friend Doug flew the same route as you the day before you, who was the pilot.
Sydney?
From Sydney to San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so I was thinking, oh, but you told me that on that flight, your company didn't put you in premium economy or a bed.
Oh, no. Yeah. Cost of airfares at the moment is very prohibitive. So I was down the back. So, you know, that was always, always going to be a long flight. But yeah, I had my flight socks. I had my neck cushion. Actually, I lost my neck cushion in San Francisco airport somewhere because we arrived about 45 minutes late and my connecting flight to Salt Lake City was literally boarding 10 minutes after I landed. Oof. So I did the whole, excuse me, can I please, do you mind if I go forward? You know, like people let me off the plane, you know, and then they let me through the immigration queue. And I ran so hard and so fast. I got to the gate. I got to the aircraft door. Going
through immigration.
Yeah. I got there. I did it. I made the flight literally like with a few minutes, they shut the door behind me. But I made it and I sat there and I was like, and the flight attendant came and she's like, would you like some water? And I'm like, yes, please.
Just pour it right in.
So you told me last night, because you probably, you hurt your probably ACL, right? You're
yeah. So the doctors think it's my ACL and my PCL, which is on the outside. So, but I won't know until I get home and have an MRI. So I'm on crutches, my knee is braced. I've had wheelchair service through all the airports. It's something I've never experienced. That is a great service, I have to say. That is a wonderful service. Those people that, you know, that wheel us around, they're really lovely. But yeah, luckily I took out travel insurance. Always take out travel insurance is my tip. And I did also check that it included snow sports, because sometimes basic travel insurance policy in Australia doesn't include snow sports. So I made sure that was added on, and lucky for me, I'm covered. And so my travel insurer, at the advice of the doctors, have upgraded me going home. So
they have upgraded you. Okay, so right there, travel insurance.
So what does the travel insurance cover? I've never got it before. So
well, it depends. I mean, there's so many different options. Okay. Like with any insurance, you know, you have to read the product disclosure statement and understand the schedule of benefits, and you have to choose a policy that's right for you. But when Australians come to the United States, the cost of medical care for us, obviously being away from Australia, is expensive. And then at the dollar at the moment, our Australian dollar is only buying about 67 US cents. So everything for me is already 33% more expensive, plus the high cost of medical care when you're not a resident and don't have local insurance. So yeah, I just made sure that I chose a good policy, that it had good coverage, and that it included the snow sports.
So will it include your MRI and all the stuff?
No, so when I get back in Australia, it doesn't include any of that, because in Australia, we have Medicare, which is our kind of public healthcare system, and then we have private health insurance as well. So that'll cover me, hopefully free of charge when I get back. We have a great healthcare system. So, but everything that's, you know, an additional cost here.
And what did your husband say when you told him you're about your hurt knee?
Oh yeah. So he said to me, "Oh, this is an extreme way to get an upgrade."
He knows you.
Yeah. I'm like, I would rather my knee in mint condition. trust me. But yeah. I mean, it was good. I mean, it's not good, but it was good that the doctors, you know, provided the advice that with a knee injury like this, you should not have your knee down for, you know, so many hours, because you swell up normally on a flight that's, you know,
yes, you do,
14 hours nonstop, let alone when you have a knee injury as well. So, you know, every cloud has a silver lining, right? So I've got two. One, I'm here with you, and two, I get to fly business class home. There you go. So
there you go.
You know.
Yes. Yeah, I bought travel insurance when we took the kids to Africa.
Oh, yeah.
We
yeah.
were way out.
Yeah.
And something happens. It's going to be very expensive.
Yeah, expensive. Yeah.
And then, I bought it to go to, we're going to Brazil, Argentina, and Peru for 3 weeks in July. So
you're going?
Yes.
Oh, you'll love it. Yeah.
So I've never been.
Oh, I've been. Yeah. That was my baby moon. My hubby wanted to have kids way before I did. And then I said, well, I want to go to Africa and I want to go to South America. And he was like, pick one. So I thought, well, Africa you can do with the kids when they're older, right? But I thought South America I wanted to do pre-kids. So yeah, we did like a 5-week South America small group tour, and I went from Argentina into Chile and then up into Peru, and
that's what we're doing.
Yeah, we went into
3 weeks, not five.
Yeah.
They always do everything big over there in Australia.
Well, because we take just so far, right? But then we finished in Rio, and then we added on a week because it was Carnivale.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you had.
So, yeah, that was like, that was, and then we came back and then we started to make a family. Yeah.
That was your trade-off? You'll think about
yeah, I was hoping weeks. It would take a long time to start a family. It was like like 1 month or two later. I was like, darn it. I was hoping I could squeeze in another trip. But yeah.
No. It sounds like the opposite of me. Like, my wife would want the kids, and I'd be like, let's just keep traveling.
So. Yeah, but you can travel with kids, right?
Like, so did two, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Did two people leave on your trip and three came back?
Oh, no.
No, you didn't get pregnant on the trip.
No.
That's what
no.
Carnival was. Because yeah. That's with my daughter. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
We went on a cruise, my husband and I. Two people yeah. left. Three people came back.
Oh, that's sweet. Was that your honeymoon?
No. We had been married for 4 years, but we decided we'd start.
Oh, that's so, nice.
On the yeah. cruise?
Uh-huh. She's a cruise baby.
She's a cruise baby. I love that.
Drew's a bathroom baby, but that's a long story.
Oh. On a plane?
Somebody's house.
Wow. Wow.
That's Don't cool. invite us over.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no. So But yeah, the kids are missing my airline benefits, that's for sure.
Oh.
My daughter is very dirty at me that I'm over in the US without her.
How old are your children?
So my daughter is 13 now and my son is 11.
Oh, I bet they are.
Yeah. They're also of the age where, you know, they really want to start traveling more because they can remember more. My son announced to me the other day that he actually didn't remember Japan at all. And I was a bad mother that I took him when he was only two. So, yeah.
Like, here's the pictures, kid. Yeah, you were there.
Exactly right. Yeah. But they are missing. Cause I used to, you know, non-rev a lot with the kids, and my husband runs his own business. So he didn't come with us, quite a few times, but I would just non-rev around Australia. So I got used to, you know, just being me and two little ones. around the airport. So it was great. They grew up as non-rev babies. So yeah, they're
really
missing
proud
it now.
Of you. To go by yourself with two kids as a non-rev. Really, yeah. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It was daunting the first time, I remember. Then you get used to it, you know. The worst time was I non-revved when I was at United with my daughter. She was five to Disneyland, and we were cutting it fine to get back to Australia for Father's Day. Father's Day is always the first weekend in September in Australia. And everything looked good. The load looked good. We were at, you know, the flight leaves late from LA, and we're at the airport. She was only five. And then they weight restricted it. Oof. Like literally half the seats were open. So they weight restricted it. And anyway, this happened five nights in a row.
What?
So imagine me as a mom on my own with my five-year-old daughter. Five nights dragging her through LAX airport to the gate, sitting there like the flight leaves at like 10, right? So she was already so tired. And then the last flight that we could have got back to be back for Father's Day, we didn't get on. Again, they weight restricted it, and she just started to bawl her eyes out in the airport. She was like, "We're not going to see Daddy for Father's Day." I was like, "Oh my gosh!" I felt like the worst mother. I'm looking at how much the tickets were. It's like $2,000 one way. Ah, no, we'll be back tomorrow. but yeah, we got on the next night, so that was all right. But yeah, there's been some, you know, there's been some not so great moments, but there's been some great moments and things that we've experienced with our non-rev benefits that we couldn't have if we would have been, you know, paying full fare. So yeah, they've been very lucky overall.
That's fun.
Yeah,
been really fun.
Well, thanks for joining us, coming all the way from Australia.
You're a great guest. You really are.
Thank you for having me again. I feel so honored that this is my second turn. So
you two get to see, well, all three of us get to see more of Katie tomorrow because she's in the museum video.
You are?
Yeah.
She's a celebrity.
Wow, I'm not a celebrity. But yeah, I'm in the Why I Fly video that is shown at the C.R. Smith Museum.
Oh, I can't wait to see you.
Yeah. So hopefully that's a little surprise for everyone.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I hope that movie's still playing there. I don't know. I think it is.
No, I'll cut this out. But
yeah.
But yeah, thanks for coming to this and joining it. And us going to meet you for the first time in person because we've been friends and we talked years ago. So, but thank you. And, for joining us. And
yeah, thank you for having me. It's so good to meet you all in person. You know, I've, you know, obviously been following the show since it started, so, and congratulations that you've done so well with it and grown it to what it is today. So
thank you.
You know,
thank
kudos to all of you. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate
very
it.
Very fun. It was very, when you walked in, you see the sign, you're like, what?
It's great.
Yeah. It's like wow,
it's amazing. Yeah. And it's great that you've got, you know, got the support as well. So it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's been fun. So.
But it was really fun to be over in the museum watching the show.
Yeah, because we talked about it on the show. She talked about it when we're recording. And I don't think a lot of people realize because she was with us the night before. And then because of her leg, she didn't come for the whole day on Saturday. But you want to tell what?
So we were sitting in the museum and it goes through different American employees and kind of their experience.
A little movie. They show that movie.
Yeah. So we're all sitting there and then all of a sudden Katie pops up on the big screen. And it's kind of her story and stuff.
Yeah.
Did everybody cheer?
Everyone was kind of like, I know her. Like you could hear everyone turn to their neighbor and be like, I know her. She's here.
Yeah, she's here. She just missed it too. She just took the Uber over and just got in right after. So, but then she spent the rest of that time with us. So, but it was one episode. So.
A poor thing was skiing and
up in Park City, yeah.
Yeah, and ripped her meniscus.
And talking to her recently, she's got a surgery date, should be the 24th, so I'm not sure when this comes out compared to a couple days. She'll have surgery.
Good luck on that, yes.
Okay, good luck, Katie.
All right, well, thank you, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 400,000 people from all airlines in the world and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
Hey, maybe you should dub my voice over part of the interview to say 16. You know, when you say what's the flying time from Auckland to JFK, you could just use my voice saying 16 instead of 18. So I don't sound like a numpty. But yeah, it's 16 going there, and it's about 16 going there and about 18 coming back. I remember it was really good to be laying down coming back.
I told Monique about your being so sad about learning that Stevie Nicks is weird.
Oh, I know, because my husband loves Stevie Nicks.
But you don't?
I like her.
But you,
I like
you her were very, like, you were sad when you found that out.
I was sad that she's weird. Yeah.
That she's weird. It carries the doll around.
I know. That's really disappointing. Yeah, it's really strange.
Like a full-sized, like a baby doll?
Yeah. There's like a baby doll she travels with. Yeah. And she orders for the baby doll. I'll have a Diet Coke. Yeah, she'll have a tomato juice.
Well, that's just a way to get two drinks. The baby will take a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, Stevie Nicks, we've got your number.
So before I drink, I was on a trip with my friend Josiah, and he was like, you have to order me a drink too. So he like told me word for word how to order the drink, and then he just drank both of them. He was pretty toasted by the time we landed.
You're so funny. He has two drinks. He's pretty toasted.
Well, no, because I think we had our like pre-departure, and he had his and mine.
Okay, you're right.
And then we had two more as we were flying too, so... He had four on a like Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
up and down.
He was like, he's like, can you tell I'm drunk? And I was like, yeah. Just be quiet.